So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 23, Text 1 and 2. And this is text number 2 we have on the board. So I'll just read text 1 and then we'll do 2 together. Sukadev Goswami said, when the supreme, ancient, eternal personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, who was universally accepted as a pure devotee of the Lord and therefore a great soul, Bali Maharaj, his eyes filled with tears, his hands folded, and his voice faltering in devotional ecstasy, responded as follows. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki. Bali Maharaj said, what a wonderful effect there is in even attempting to offer respectful obeisances unto you. I merely endeavored to offer you obeisances, but nonetheless the attempt was as successful as those of pure devotees. The causeless mercy you have showed me, a fallen demon, was never achieved even by the demigods or the leaders of various planets. Purport. When Vamadadev appeared before Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj immediately wanted to offer him respectful obeisances, but he was unable to do so because of the presence of Sukracharya and other demoniac associates. The Lord is so merciful, however, that although Bali Maharaj did not actually offer obeisances but only endeavored to do so within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed him with more mercy than even the demigods would ever expect. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2:40, svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhavagahi Janardana, because he takes only the essence of the devotee's attitude. If a devotee sincerely surrenders, the Lord as the Supersoul in everyone's heart immediately understands this. Thus, even though externally a devotee may not render full service, if he is internally sincere and serious, the Lord welcomes his service nonetheless. Thus, the Lord is known as Bhavagahi Janardana, because he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. Om Agyana Chimirandasya Chanandana Shalagaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as the astute and attentive Vaishnava have probably noticed, I am not Ananta Krishna Goswami. He was unable to come because of some visa issue. The governments of Kali Yuga are not aware that the Vaishnava is above material designations such as country and ashram and varna and these things, so you're stuck with me. On the upside, I think there is cheese on toast for breakfast prasadam, so we have that going for us. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But for now, I will try to speak a little something on these two verses and the purport, and hopefully this will be pleasing to the devotees. Yes, because prasadam is the secret weapon, isn't it? It gets everybody. It doesn't matter who it is. So that's good. That's kind of a unique thing. Above prasadam, we have the Yuga Dharma of Harinam. This is the mission initiated by His Divine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sorry, yeah, blanked out there. And above that is what we're doing here, is giving class and actual preaching the philosophy, because while prasadam gets everybody, the harinam gets almost everybody. You have to be quite, I would always say, almost say demoniac not to appreciate a harinam. walking down the street. However, this, what we're doing now, is a little more difficult because here we are actually dealing with the difference between the spiritual energy and the material energy. And because we have these anarthas, sometimes it hurts a little when we get the philosophy. We have to make some sacrifices. But all of these constitute the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. We have some different processes, and these first three, hearing, chanting, and remembering about the Lord, are the main ones we say that we should all be engaged in, because these are what is known as Bhagavad activities, directly connects us to Krishna, and they're open for everybody. It doesn't take much. Bali Maharaj is a little more difficult because he is a personification of Atmanivedanam, means surrendering everything to the Lord. We've seen earlier, you've all gone through these verses, that he sacrifices everything for the Lord, Vamanadev. He transgressed the whole universe in two steps, and the third step, Bali Maharaj offered his head to place the third step. And even at the cost of the respect of family members and society, he made this surrender to the Lord. And this is difficult for us to appreciate because everything is done because of Leela, because there is Leela with the Lord. And in this case, part of the Leela is that he is not appreciated by his surroundings. So how can we appreciate? I mean, those who were close to Bali Maharaj, they could not appreciate his sacrifice because it was part of the sacrifice that people did not appreciate. So this becomes very difficult. When you see someone in a Harinam going down the street, you can appreciate. If you see someone with a bucket of halava, you can appreciate. It's very easy to see there's someone taking the Lord who's doing some service. Chanting, japa, all these activities you can appreciate. But this one is very difficult for us to appreciate because it's part of the Leela that it is not being appreciated and he's doing it anyway. Because that is the full surrender to the Lord, that it does not have anything to do with me. It's all about the Lord and whatever he wants, and then come what may come. And as we see, it works out pretty good because he gets the Sutala planet. I mean, not many of us can say that we get our own planet. That's pretty good. And Lord Vamanadeva is even there personally taking care that nobody comes and disturbs him. It's said that this planet is as opulent as the heavenly planets, but at the same time, there's no disturbance of the mind. So this is pretty good. You know, you see the heavenly planets is very good, but there's always still someone doing a little better. So it's the same thing. It's just nicer than here. But at Bali Maharaj's planet, it's all good. He's doing good. And he's waiting to take over Indra's position as chief of the demigods. It's a pretty sweet deal. So all in all, it works out always for the devotees. And that is why this Leela is being shown, because sometimes we hear devotees, maybe more we hear non-devotees saying, but if God is so good, why does bad things happen? This is a paradox. Why is he letting all these bad things happen if he's such a nice guy? But here we see that it's a necessity. If you want to show how glorious the devotees are, if you want to show something glorious, there has to be some adversity. You don't see generally stories of great heroes who go out to the kitchen, open the refrigerator, take out a carton of milk, pour himself a glass, and then drink it. Hari Bol. It's not really a great story. So in order for us to appreciate the greatness of the devotees, it has to be horrible. It has to be amazing, it has to be incredible, and we have to be thinking, oh no, why is this happening? Because then, when we see how the devotees deal with this situation, we can see, ah, there is the greatness. There is the greatness in the Lord. So this is what Bali Maharaj is showing. He's known as one of the amazing dozen, the 12 Mahajans, and acknowledged as one of the absolute greatest devotees in the universe because of this. So we're not like that. We're trying, and we're doing okay. I mean, we're small. But we have this tendency to be under the influence of the three modes of material nature. These are the guidelines by which everything takes place in the external energy. The external energy is there because we see it as something separate from Krishna. We think there's something that's not Krishna, and this is for me to enjoy. This is mine, that's Krishna's, great. And then there's mine, Krishna's temple room, Krishna's there, and it's all for him. And then I go out, and I go to my locker, and I have my books, you know. So this is why I'm in the external energy, because I think like this. And when I'm in this energy, and I think like this, I will be affected by it. And it will be, I will be affected according to the three modes. We have ignorance, we have passion, and we have goodness. And these are guiding me according to how much my false ego is dictating what I'm doing. You can say ignorance is wrong activity, wrong mentality. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing it. It will always give a bad result. I get angry. I get stubborn. This is my disease, so I just keep doing it. I get stuck like that. Passion, right activity, wrong mentality. Things are working out. Whatever it is you set out to do is actually happening, but you think that the result is for me. So you get a big successful businessman. He has passion. If he has a plan to, I'll start this business and it'll be a great success, it will most likely happen, but he will get attached to it and he will still be miserable. And then mode of goodness, you could say right activity, right mentality, or no, right activity, not wrong mentality would be a more accurate. Because you're doing something in the correct manner, and you're not doing it for yourself. At least not directly for yourself. It may be for someone else you like. But only when we reach pure goodness, which transcends the modes, that then we can say right mentality. Because then we are doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna, knowing that our pleasure is derived, it's a derivative of Krishna's pleasure. What Krishna is experiencing in our presence, that is what we're experiencing. So when we're happy, it's because we're making Krishna happy. And that goes for everybody, even the rowdy, demon-like, non-devotee, nasty, smelly. He's, to a certain extent, he's pleasing Krishna, because to a certain extent, he's following Krishna's laws. Like, there's a certain way of ingesting some kind of substance into the body. Krishna made this rule, how this is, it doesn't work if you just smear it on the stomach. You have to put it in the mouth, and then it goes down through the tract, and then you can enjoy it. Now, what you choose to put in your mouth, that's a different story. So the person in ignorance, he would maybe choose to put some meat in there, or maybe drink some alcohol or whatever. But the way he does it is still correct, so that he will still get that benefit. You know, there will be some kind of experience from it. So if he's not pleasing Krishna, at least he's pleasing Krishna's laws. We are surrendered to Krishna. It's just about what level we're surrendered to Krishna at. So at the demoniac stage, we're not deliberately surrendered to Krishna at all. So then the modes come and dictate where you're going, what's happening. And it doesn't matter if you have good qualities or bad qualities, because they're not your qualities anyway. It's just the modes going on and on. We call it the wheel of material existence. It goes up, it goes down. It goes up, it goes down. You're doing very bad, and you have this incredible headache because you've been out doing God knows what the day before. And you're thinking, I have to change my life. You know, so you go down to the shop, you get some orange juice, and you, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to do some exercise, and you do it, and you actually start feeling better, and it's, this is great, you know. I'm doing good, and you're happy, and you're smiling to people, and this is going pretty good, and now it's Wednesday, and your hangover is over, and as we progress towards Friday, you're thinking, you know what, I'm doing so good, I should, you know, I should treat myself to a little something. I've earned it, you know, and then you go out, and just for a beer or something, you know, and you end up in the town hunting for some woman, and you wake up again the next Sunday thinking, what have I done? Where am I? You know, what is this in my mouth? So in this way, and also on a larger scale, whatever good qualities the materialist has, it's a borrowed quality. It's just because the modes have guided him in that direction at that particular time. Whereas for the devotee who has deliberately taken shelter of Krishna, it is actual qualities. We can actually see the good qualities in the devotee and say, this is actually a good quality that this person has, because by the mercy of Krishna, this quality is with that person. Obviously, initially it is Krishna's qualities, but he is giving that quality to the devotee. That is why usually we see devotees, they're progressing more nicely. You know, they're more steadily, if you meet them and then you meet them a year later, maybe not much has happened, but you know, it's a little better, and it's a little better, and it's a little better. There is ups and downs always, but you don't see these big ups and downs that you see in the materialist, because they're engaged in sadhana. So that is why I think that that's a theme for these two verses is the appreciation of the devotees, because that we should be careful not to do this error that was done to Mali Maharaj, that not appreciating because of some kind of external. We have a tendency to be under the modes. That means we're in a temporary state of mind. What is going on right now? I have a cold. I didn't have time to prepare for this class. It's not very good. Why is nothing on? This is typical ISKCON, you know. Nobody knows anything what's going on, and everybody's half asleep anyway. I was at a late program, and Muggins here is sitting doing the class. What, you know, this is how we think usually. But underneath that is the willful attempt at surrendering to Krishna. Because this is what is said here. Thus the Lord is known, this is the conclusion of the purport. Thus the Lord is known as Bhava Gahi Janardana, because he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. Not what he is doing right now, or did he look at me, or did he just ignore me, or what, but the essence of the devotional mentality means the sincere desire to surrender to Krishna. The rest is just residue from millions and millions of births in the material world and a confused mindset from that. But the desire to surrender to Krishna, that is what is the essence, because the gross is a result of the subtle. So if the mentality is, I will surrender to Krishna, then it is just a matter of time before the gross, meaning the Vaishnava etiquette and the whole material purity, will follow. This is a natural consequence of the mentality. So if we're able to penetrate the covering and look at the mentality, then we're able to really appreciate the devotees. This is what we see in the Uttamadhikari, you know, that he has what we call equal vision. He sees the devotee in the dog, in the worm, in stool. He sees the devotee everywhere. In the living entity, he sees the devotee. Now, the Madhyam Adhikari, okay, he still appreciates the devotees, and he sees the qualities, but still there is some discrimination, you know. There is some piety that must be upheld. I mean, we do sadhana, we do things according to the Vedas. And then we have the Kanista, which I'm one of, proud to say, where it's a little more difficult. We have a tendency to see there's Krishna, and there's me, and then there's all the devotees who are sometimes helping me and sometimes getting in the way. You know, so we try to deal with that. This is a neophyte mentality, where we see Krishna first, he's the subject, that's good, the materialist sees I'm the subject, I'm in the center. That's why they always talk about being objective, because they see themselves as a subject. It's just a grammatical thing, you know. Whereas the neophyte devotees see, okay, Krishna's in the center. Okay, he's the subject. I'm the object. I'm there to please Krishna. But then devotees and stinky, smelly non-devotees can either help me in that or not help me in that, and I like or dislike them according to whether or not they are helping or not helping. Whereas the more advanced devotees see that, wait a minute, no, that's not actually the real position. The real position is there's Krishna, then there's the devotees, because the devotees is how Krishna communicates with us. Then there's 50 feet of dirt, and then there's me. I'm the instrument in serving the devotees. That's how I serve Krishna. So they're not tools in my devotional service. I'm a tool in their devotional service. And this is how we progress very nicely, is if we are actually just surrendering to this fundamental service mood, because all the other rasas are built on that foundation. If there's no service mentality, then there's no dynamic. There is no dynamic relationship with Krishna. If we see all the three higher rasas, the Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasa, friendship, parental, and conjugal rasas, they're building on service. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shishi Goranantai ki. So they're growing from a fundamental service mentality. If you see the cowherd boys, they're not thinking that they're in Shakya Rasa. They just are. What they're thinking about is service. And now there are different rules and different guidelines for how this service works, depending on what rasa you're in. But the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, Radharani, they're not thinking about the rasas. They're thinking about service to Krishna. So this is the trick that we should develop, this mood of service, and then the higher spheres will develop on their own. We should not hunt them, because we will never get them like that. So this is sometimes we hear that, this or that devotee have fallen, and what about my trust, and I put the faith in this devotee and he's fallen down. And we hear that the pure devotee never falls down, so actually he was never a pure devotee, you know. So now I will not even listen to his kirtans anymore, because he's a nonsense. This is a very dangerous mentality, and this is a very neophyte mentality, because usually what we hear is, well, he should be pure devotee, liberated, uttamadikari, paramahamsa, you know, nitya siddha. These are five different things. And it seems that whenever these come up, it's just put in one big khichdi, and nobody's actually defining what is it actually you're talking about here. We know that a pure devotee is from nista, you know, we have from shraddha to prema. So let's go through that. A kanista adhikari is the first three. You have shraddha, sadhusanga / bhajana kriya, and then you have anartha nivritti. Shraddha means faith. You have to have some faith that the process is working in some way, that there will be some result. Then you will have some association. You will start to associate. This is the bhajana kriya sadhusanga level, the second level. And then anartha nivritti, you will start to work on your bad qualities. You will see, actually, these devotees have some very nice qualities. I have maybe a little bit here and there, but there's also something that's not so good. So let me try and work on getting rid of that. This is the kanista adhikari sphere. This is the area where the kanista, the beginner, is working. You can say you have kanista, that is the shraddha. You have madhyam kanista, that is the bhajana kriya. And you have uttama kanista, that is the anartha nivritti. So then you're a very qualified beginner. And then after you have worked on that for, let's say, 20, 25 years, very seriously and very dedicatedly, you come to Nista platform. This is where we start our Majjam adventure. our intermediate devotee. So nista means steady. Steady in devotional service. You're doing great. Everything you're doing is in line with scripture, at least, if not directly in connection with devotional service. It's going good. So this is what we would call the kanista stage of the majjham stage. Right? Jai Maharaj. So when this is going on, then things start to go quite smoothly. In the beginning, with all the bad habits and all that, it's very much uphill battle. But when we reach nista, it starts to even out because we're engaged constructively and positively in all our dealings. So then ruchi comes, that is taste. Actually, we start to realize, actually, it's not just about getting the rounds done. It's actually quite nice, you know. I actually like chanting. I actually like going to Mangalarati. You see God. Imagine if a Christian person realized I can go actually see God. This is not a statue. This is God. That's pretty wild, you know. So you start to want to come, and it's not just because you have to. And what will they say if I don't? You know, I'll get extra service and. So that's the majjham of the majjham stage. And when you've done that for some time, what always happens is that we get attached. Doesn't matter what we do, we get attached to it. If it's good, it's bad, it doesn't matter, we get attached. So this is the asakti platform where we have to do it. We go crazy if we don't do it. I was sick and I couldn't chant my rounds. I'm not that advanced, you know. I was sleeping and I had a little bit of, you know, you have a little bit here and there, there's a little bit of realization. And I realized, oh my God, I'm actually doing pretty bad when I'm not chanting my rounds, you know. I don't think of that usually because I usually do my rounds. But after that day, it was like, oh my God, my mind, and it's like my brain is twice as heavy. So when that realization is full, you could say, then you've reached the asakti stage where you're attached to devotional service. You have to do it, otherwise you go crazy. This is the advanced stage of the majjham platform. And then bhava comes, complete the love of God, right? The budding stage of the complete love of God. This is where the uttam adhikari platform begins. The kanista, or the beginner part of the uttama platform. And then we have prema, which is the complete blossom stage of this bud of bhava. And then there is beyond, up until mahabhava. We don't need to get technically into that because it's beyond what we understand anyway. So then we have the kanista, majjham kanista, uttam kanista, majjham, majjham majjham, uttam majjham. And in uttam you also have this division. So when we talk about, was he ever a pure devotee, or is he a pure devotee never falls? Well, if we buy pure devotee means that only someone who is a uttama adhikari can be a guru, then that is just downright wrong. Because our sampradaya is known as the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And it is described in Brahma Samhita that Brahma, he was actually a majjham adhikari, because he knew that he has a relationship to Krishna, but he was not exactly sure what this relationship was. That's a majjham. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says so in the Brahma Samhita. So if only a uttam adhikari, nitya siddha, can be a guru, then our whole parampara is bogus. So obviously, as a majjham adhikari, you are qualified to actually initiate. Because actually you're not the one giving, you're just connecting the devotee to the parampara where the chit shakti is flowing. So there's no need to be scared of all this, oh, he fell down and what does it mean? Am I still initiated? No, it's all good. Don't worry, it's all good. Sometimes out of sentiment, there's nothing wrong with sentiment, it can be good to take reinitiation because that just creates some samskara. That's what the yakya does. It creates an impression on the mind. And that can be nice because you establish a relationship that otherwise you would feel was a little maybe wishy-washy. But actually it's not necessary at all. We are a Shiksha line. If we follow our parampara, it is Shiksha that we follow. Mahaprabhu did not give Diksha to the six Goswamis. He gave Shiksha. That was the initiation. So it's not that we don't need the initiation. We do, because we're not very advanced. But it's just that the Shiksha is what is actually going to carry us back to Godhead. So everybody is still initiated. It's all good. We don't have to worry. And the final conclusion, of course, is that when in doubt, appreciate the devotee. They're glorious. They're all glorious. This is the special quality of the advanced devotees, is that they really do appreciate the devotees, even with all the little material things that are going on here and there. And of course, the non-devotees, or the beginners, have a little more difficulty with it. The non-devotees don't appreciate it. It can be a little this, a little that. And the demons are inimical. Like Ravana. There is actually a story where Ravana actually came to Bali Maharaj, because the fighting in Lanka, it wasn't going so well. Cities were being burnt, spit was being spat, and he was having some trouble. And this was conflicting with his false ego, because I'm the greatest, I will prevail, I will conquer even time. I don't know how, but I'm sure I will. But still, this is not going the way I thought it would go. So let me see, what am I going to do? I'm going to talk with a friend. I'm going to call a friend, yes. And he thought of Bali Maharaj. He's also a demon. He's doing pretty well. Let me go check him out. So he went to the Sutala planet and found Vamanadeva there, walking back and forth and checking who was coming. And so he stepped up and said, Haribol, let me in. And Vamanadeva was, you. Or actually, he had taken vow of silence, so mm-mm. So Ravana wasn't about to accept that, so he used his mystic powers, and he became invisible. And that's great, because that's materially invisible, but Vishnu is not really impressed by these things, so the club came. Mm-mm. So what have we got? So, okay, he tried another perfection he had. These demons, they always have these crazy tricks up their sleeve. So he made himself very small, and he rushed as fast as he could. And Vamanadeva's foot came down and stopped him. Now Vamanadeva, of course, he could have smashed him right there, or he could have made Ravana get lost on the way to the Sutala. He can do anything, you know, but for the Leela's sake, there's a certain way things go. So he stops him there, and he actually gives him some bandhagyan, some knowledge. And this foot on his face actually is why Ravana became qualified to be killed by Ram. Because before that, he didn't acknowledge the unlimited potency of Vishnu. But here, there's no doubt. He's stopped. He can't breathe. He can't do anything. He's, let me go. Help me. And that surrender, actually made him eligible to be killed by Ram. Now, this Leela is going on, and Vamanadeva has done his duty, so he actually lets him pass. And he comes to Bali Maharaj and says, look, it's not going so well. I need your help. We're all demons here. You know, come on. Can you help me out? And he said, no, this is no good, because you're fighting God, and, you know, it's not going to happen. You just forget it, you know. So, no, I'll beat him. Okay, so why are you here? No, because I need your help. No, but so why, if you're going to beat him, why do you need my help? So does that mean I'm God? He actually says, Atmachatra says that Bali Maharaj is joking with him, saying, oh, so then I must be God, since you come to me for help, you know. So no, stop this. Don't ridicule me. You're my senior. You're supposed to be helping me. I'm a junior. Okay, so now you're quoting Dharma. That's interesting. You know, demon to demon. And actually, okay, Bali Maharaj says, look, okay, I'll help you out. Come, I'll show you something. And they go to this courtyard, And it's described as being 4 yojanas wide and long. That a yojana is 8 miles. So that's 32 miles by 32 miles. Big courtyard. And in there, there is a mountain of gold. And this mountain of gold is described as 9 yojanas tall. That is 72 miles high. This is significant. And Ravana is like, Hari Bol, you know, this is good. And Bali Maharaj is, yeah, you like? It's okay. So you can have this. You just have to take it, you know, just have to lift it. And okay, we can do. And he goes and he tries to lift it, and it is a little bit heavy. So he's working on this, and it's not really working out for him. And Bali Maharaj says, what's the matter? You don't want it? You don't like? You know, just a minute. And Bali Maharaj says, you notice something about this mountain? Ramana says, I don't know, diamonds, it's described studded with diamonds that are bigger than his head. You know, so, I mean, it's pretty nice. No, but try to look at the shape. And so he walks back a little and he says, yeah, kind of looks like an earring. So Bali Maharaj says, yeah, it is. It is Hiranyakashipu's earring. See, you were Hiranyakashipu in your last life. And you were fighting Nrsingadev. And this was your earring. Now Nrsingadev, he finished you without any problem. And you can't lift his earring. So now you're going to tell me that you're going to kill God. And of course Ravana, he doesn't appreciate the qualities of the devotee or God or anyone. So he just says, oh, you're stupid. I'm leaving. And we all know how it goes, of course. So this is an example of someone who is not appreciating the qualities of Krishna. And it is also what is known as a segue, because today is the appearance day of Sri Sita Devi. And I wanted to relate a little story. So now that we are on the Ram Leela, Ravana is killed. No, he's defeated. Everybody else is killed. He's finished. He's alone. And Ram says to him, look, you go away from here, come back tomorrow and bring my Sita and everything will be nice. And Ravana, he's like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm the greatest, and you're not even gonna kill me. I'm insulted. You know, you should at least kill me. This is humiliating. You know, you're not even gonna kill me. So he goes. And he calls Shiva and says, look, you know, you said you're going to help me in another Leela, and I need, you got to do something. You said you'd save my life. He's not even going to kill me. I don't have anyone left. You got to help me. And Shiva says, like Bali Maharaj, okay, I'll help you. Just give Sita back. That's all you got to do. You'll get your kingdom back. Everybody will have forgotten whatever's gone on. It'll be great. And this again, you know, no, I won't. You know, I wanted to do this. What's the big deal? I'm a demon. I steal people's wives. That's what demon does. What's the problem? You know? And Shiva said, look, I didn't promise you I'd fight Ram. And even if I did, I'd be finished. You know, you can't win. I just promised I'd help you. I'd save your life. So here's my help. This is what it is. Forget it. He goes away again. And so he comes back and Laxman says, oh, he's come. He's come to surrender. No, I've come to fight you. And of course, Ram kills him with an arrow, just like that. Now it comes to the point where we have to go get Sita. And of course, Sita already knows what's been going on. Women always know what's going on. So they go and fetch her, and they bring her back. And Ram says, great, now you can go do whatever you want. And they're like, huh? This whole program, you know, cross the ocean, build a bridge, burn a city, fight the demons, bring a mountain, and now go do whatever you want? No, I don't think so. You know, we did all this, and you're just gonna, because it was for her, no? No, it's fine, you can do whatever you want. And she's like, this is weird. And so they come up with this, okay, this program, we have to figure out, oh, yeah, okay. So maybe it's because, and Ram tells, you know, I mean, I can take her back and we can sit on the throne and everybody's going to be like, she spent 4 months with Ravana. You know, how's that going to work? You know, I'm the incarnation of virtue, and next to me is a wife who's been spending time with the greatest demon of our time. Oh, I mean, it's not going to work, you know. And besides, it's not my wife. So they come up with this idea, because even Brahma comes down at this point and says, look, this is too much Leela. You know, I mean, we're getting confused. Leela's great and it's fun and all that, but this is just too much. So they come up with that, okay, she can enter the fire, she'll sit on the fire, we'll prove she's pure because nothing will happen, and she's like, great, let's do it. And she sits in the fire, and she's pure, and nothing happens, so what's the problem? No, this is actually what happened, is that when she was in the forest, Lakshman took the Agni Astra and draw the line and said, look, you just stay here, don't go. And Lakshman went, and then Ravana came in the guise of a Brahmana and tried to steal Sita. Now Sita says, look, my protectors, they've said I should not go beyond, so you come in and get some dakshin. And he can't go past the line, of course. So he says, no, I'm a Naishtika sannyasi, so I don't go into people's houses. You know, so you have to come here. So she's, I'm not really going to do that. Okay, fine. I'll just go away from here and I'll tell everybody that the house of Ram, they don't give to sannyasis. And, you know, so let's see what people say. And she's going to, well, this is bad, you know, because the Lord of Virtue and not giving to sannyasis. So she crosses the line. But what happens there is that actually the sun god comes down, takes the real Sita, and puts an illusory Sita instead of her. Because Lakshmana said, you don't cross this line. So she doesn't cross that line. So all this time, Ravana has actually not had the real Sita. Because you don't steal from God. You know, he's had an illusory Sita because of the Leela. Because so the Leela can go on. And when she entered the fire, she came back. He brought the real Sita back. So when we look at Sita, now we can see that not only is she pure, she has also not even been in the presence of Ravana. This is not in the Ramayana, this is in the Kurma Purana. It's a lesser known Leela. But it is actually a fact that Ravana has never had the real Sita captive. It was only an illusory. And the reason that all this is going on, that with cross the ocean, build a bridge and burn a city, is because of the Leela. Because that is how things work. The Leela is the primary and everything else is just like we are, just instruments in that Leela. So this is what our meditation can be, that we are only instruments in Leela. And to the extent that we can support Leela, to that extent, we can be Krishna conscious. So I think I will take a few questions now. I'm a little over time. Sorry about that.